For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is the Brian McClain Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome, good morning, and welcome to the show, everybody. This is the Brian McClain Show, live out of Central Texas, right here in the heart of Texas. That's right. Oh, yes, and I'm live with today's news talk, tntradio.live. That's where you find us on the interwebs. Got a great show lined up for you today. CeCe Woods and I will be joined by Burton Brink in the third hour. That's going to be great. In the second hour, I will be rejoined by Dr. Azada Khatibi. We had a great discussion last week. We're going to pick that one up right where we left off. She's in California. She is fighting. She's suing California, suing Newsom, her and her colleagues over Bill 2098, which was passed in California and goes into law in January. Just weeks away now, folks. 2023 is literally weeks away. So what's the hashtag next crisis going to be in 2023? I don't know. But for Californians, doctors and patients in California, when 2098 goes into effect, it's not going to be good. It is not going to be a good deal for anybody. If you missed that episode with her, you're going to want to go back and check it out. But we'll recap that in case anyone out there missed that and does not know what 2098 is. Basically, what it is it makes it such that your doctor cannot give you their opinion about vaccines and COVID jabs and this sort of thing without potentially losing everything that they've worked for, okay? Losing their license, being dragged into courts and things like this for simply stating their opinion about things like we said, COVID jabs, etc., especially COVID jabs. So yeah, you don't want a doctor that is under duress, right? You don't want a doctor that's under duress from Big Pharma and from a corrupt, captured, Marxist, disgusting state regime like California's, do you? Well, maybe you do if you live in California. I don't know. Same with New York. You guys seem to really like medical tyranny out there. You keep voting these people back in and you keep staying home and watching Netflix or Pornhub or whatever the heck you people are watching that has you out there so dumb that you can't figure out that you don't want to be voting these psychopathic ghouls into your local, governments. So that's going to be a great discussion with Dr. Khatibi. And this hour of the show will be joined by Jason Hodge of the Oddcast. And we're going to peer into the yawning void of the J6 story for an update. And a big shout out and thank you to Patrick Henningsen. Great handoff there. Great show today, Patrick. If you've been missing Patrick's show, you're definitely going to want to go back and check it out. He had some of my favorite people on today. He had Blake Lovewell on and he had Miles of Truth. And my homie, Tyler Nixon, also. So all three of those guests, great guests. If you missed that, you're going to want to check it out. Episodes at tntradio.live. That's where you find it. Well, let's see here. Here's something worth mentioning. Darren and I are going to stay away from Ukraine today. So I'll bring up Ukraine before we get to the news break here. 100,000 Ukrainian soldiers have died in the conflict is a headline that you will find at RT. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has presented the total number of losses estimated to have been suffered by Ukraine in its conflict with Russia. Here's the quote. More than 100,000 Ukrainian military officers have been killed so far. End quote. She claimed that on Wednesday, while adding that around 20,000 civilian lives have also been lost amid the fighting, which has continued since late February. The head of the European Union didn't reveal the sources of the information she provided. Okay, so, 60,000 is kind of the number we've been working with because in late September, the Russian defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, stated that Ukrainian losses had to date amounted to more than 61,000 troops, which was 10 times higher than those losses of Russia. So, so we'd kind of been functioning on that piece of information. 61,000 is the approximate number. But then this happened, and it's like, oh my gosh, where did the other 40,000 come from? have they been, well, we know they've been suppressing these numbers. You don't see a ticker, do you? You don't see a ticker on the news like you did for COVID. How many people died? It's funny how that works, isn't it? Sometimes they just want you to see that, and other times they don't. It all has to do with the narrative. Does it support the narrative, right? So let's see here. But now here's one more headline real quick. EU chief's assessment of Ukrainian casualties deleted. Oh, my goodness. Wow. How about that? A claim about the number of Ukrainian soldiers killed during the conflict with Russia has been removed from a speech by European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen on the executive official website. Okay, so she said it. And, well, you can't take it back. It's been said, but we could certainly scrub it from the website. We don't want people referencing that number too much. I mean, the 60,000 number in and of itself is shocking and disgusting considering this all started in February. I mean, those are like Vietnam level numbers right there, maybe bigger. I don't know, really, really scary. But that's how this works, folks. That's how it works right there. You just saw it in action Tuesday or Wednesday, you know. Oh, 100,000 died. And then just 24 hours later, boom, the record of that mostly expunged from the interwebs. How about that? All right. At TNT Radio, we never go home. I don't know. I'm broadcasting from home right now. No, I'm not. This is my studio. We're committed to bring you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we got you covered on TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. So this is a headline that I've heard a few show hosts mention here on the show, but I want to get into this fight, too. I want to get into this scrum. So Darren Denslow, TNT news producer, is here to talk to us about this one. Less than half of England and Wales population is Christian. 2021 census from the 2021 census data. So this is a big story from Darren's side of the pond. Darren, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. Good to see you. Just on that von der Leyen story, there is actually a video of the two speeches side by side, with one of them having that little segment edited out. And it makes you wonder, why did she pull that? Why did they delete that statement? Probably someone from NATO or the US said, oh, no, don't tell them that. And that 100 grand figure was probably a conservative figure. I suspect right. that's lower than the actual truth. So wait till the Russians really gear up with their latest mobilization. There could be an absolute carnage in Ukraine. That's half, 100,000 is half their military fighting force. So
amazing. Amazing. Yeah. They're losing support here in the U.S. too. U.S. citizens are starting to be like, okay, wait a minute. What are we doing here? And if they were to see these kind of numbers, oh, that support would go down quick.
It's a meat grinder over there, and I think it's going to start, you know, that grinder's going to start spinning a lot quicker, you know, when the Russians, you know, really go in. Anyway, Christians account for less than half of England and Wales population, according to the 2021 census. The number of Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, Jews, Buddhists, and non-religious has increased since 2011. The census was carried out in 2021. We've all been eagerly waiting for the information from this census, particularly demographics and population data. And the government has been very, very reluctant to release it. It's been coming out in dribs and drabs for months. The number of people identifying as Christian in England and Wales has fallen below half the population for the first time. According to data released from the 2021 census, 46.2% of the population, or approximately 27.5 million people, describe themselves as Christian, a reduction of 13.1% since 2011, when the last census took place. The survey was concluded that the number of people who said they did not have a religion rose from 25.2% to 37.2%. Again, you know, that's a 12% increase, a massive increase, while those who identified as Muslim rose from 4.9% to 6.5%. The Archbishop of York, a prominent religious figure in the UK, Stephen Cottrell, said the data was not a great surprise and that we have left behind the era when many people almost automatically identified as Christian. However, Cottrell said that it was time to look beyond the survey and note that Christians in England are part of a global faith, which he called the largest movement on earth, giving people hope for a peaceful future. London remains the most religiously diverse region with England. According to the survey, 25.3% of people in the capital reported being part of a religion other than Christian. Meanwhile, Southwest England, where I come from, Southwest England proved to be the least religiously diverse, with 3.2% selecting a religion other than Christianity. Although I am certain in 10 years' time, if they do the same, when we have the same census here in the Southwest, there's going to be a massive change. And also, a lot of the illegal immigration we've had into this part of the country, in the Southwest of England, of the UK, a lot of the immigrants are actually Christian. I have Eritreans who live in the property that I live in, and they are Christian. Decent people as well, to be fair. In Wales, the data show that 47% of people say they are non-religious, and an increase of 15%, outnumbering any other religion, including Christianity. Historically, Wales has always had an independence of thought compared to England. And I'm not going to go on so much of these stats relating to religion. Some key stats about our major cities. 37% of the people who live in London, all right, so this is the capital of England, identify as white English, white Welsh, Scottish, Northern Irish, or British. Just 37%. In fact, our three largest cities, London, Birmingham, and Manchester, white English people are now a minority. That change... That we've fallen into that minority status in those cities that I've just mentioned since 2011. I've quoted immigration figures when talking to you, Brian, and I talk about, you know, 1,000 here and 1,000 there, and I'm sure your American listeners think, oh, that's nothing. We've got hundreds of thousands coming over our southern border. But actually, we're a small country. We have a very, very high population density, but we don't have a large population. And these increases that we have seen are so apparent. It's hard to explain on radio without showing you some images of somewhere like, I don't know, Birmingham, or some of the areas in London where there are no white people anymore. They are Muslims or Hindus or immigrants and a lot of non-English speaking countries. So, and Nigel Farage called this out. And what did he get told by a prominent Conservative MP? So what? So that's the attitude we're getting from our establishment. So what? What's wrong with you? You're racist. So these are the latest data coming out of the UK. England has got a real, real problem, not just with the people that are coming in, but how the locals are going to respond in the future.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, you know, because people in the alternative media spheres for years now have been talking about replacement theory, and replacement theory was a big wedge for groups like the alt-right. Is the alt-right even still a thing? I don't even know if they're still out there. I think that may have just completely collapsed. What does it mean? That's the bigger question. What is the platform here? I'm not sure. If you ask the mainstream media, they'll tell you it's racism, sexism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of the people that were big voices in that realm, I could reference Nick Fuentes, who's been in the news recently, adjacent to Donald Trump and Yeezy. They're very unpopular in many circles and in the mainstream circles, because to talk about replacement theory in 2015 and 16, it just didn't, you know, it was like an open goal for the mass media and the progressives and the woke to just bash on you. But, you know, if you step back from that and you just kind of look at the raw numbers like we're doing right here with this story, you will see that replacement is actually happening, you know. And those guys that talk about that obsessively, you know, they get into other stuff. They get into like genetic intelligence and things like that, you know, and they really kind of leave out the culture part, and then the cultural manipulation part, the reasons why certain cultures are clashing and how, you know, that's kind of bolstered by those that want to change the culture. And listen to this. Speaking of replacement, let me play this clip for you here. This is Chuck Schumer in 2009.
Illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced that we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we will make no progress on dealing with the millions of illegal immigrants who are here now and on rationalizing our system of legal immigration.
Okay, so that was what he thought in 2009. Well, that's what he said. I don't know if these people actually say what they think ever. That's what he said in 2009, and here he is this year. Let's compare.
Immigrants make us stronger now more than ever. Now more than ever. We're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the dreamers and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the dreamers, but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
Oh, yeah. Big round of applause there, Chucky. Big round of applause for Chucky there. What an amazing thing. So Chuck Schumer there just admitted, basically, he just gave credence to replacement theory, you know, from a numbers perspective. And he loves it. He said, this is great. We need these people. But you know what? Democrats love cheap labor. Did you notice how he talked about we need more workers? Yeah, well, you took all your American youth and you locked them up in their homes. You told them they were unessential and you started sending them these hush money checks. Yeah, they're not going to want to go to work anymore. And that's going to be an ongoing problem. But pretty interesting how the politicians buck in and out of that whole thing there, isn't it?
Yeah, the leader of the left in the UK, a guy called Keir Starmer, who's the leader of the Labour Party, a globalist through and through. I think he's part of the Trilateral Commission. He said about a month ago, oh, we need all these illegal immigrants coming in. We need all this immigration because it's the only thing that's going to save our population. Same thing, population in terms of numbers and our economy. And it's a replacement workforce and a replacement group of breeders that are being brought into my country, to your country, to Europe. We call it, it's known as the clergy pan, which I've mentioned before. I find it very disturbing. There is going to be a culture war, literally, and it could be fought on the streets, potentially, especially in my country. It's the hot potato. People getting real, real angry and upset about this.
Yeah, it's getting really weird too. There's like some weird side effects happening too. Like here in America, there's now a large contingent of Muslim immigrants who are not down with the left anymore because what they're doing in the schools is offensive to their culture, which is an amazing flip. Because just a few years ago, it was like, well, you know, there's been a couple of flips on this. You can go all the way back to War on Terror era where it was just like demonize these people, you know, completely. But then we in the Obama era, it was like, no, this is the religion of love. Don't look there, you know. Don't mind what we're arming ISIS and what those people are doing, you know, and all the variations of this religion. No, it's fine. And now it's just like, oh yeah, we've been pumping that line here, and like, oh, they're a religion of love, la 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 la. And you know, yeah, that's true sometimes, and sometimes it's not. Just like any religious group or ideological thought pattern, but. Now it's like, no, they're the Muslim population here in the United States is like, no, you guys have gone too far. All of a sudden, we're going to have to become Republicans so that you guys don't abuse and make our kids gay. Sorry.
Yep. And the problem with Muslims is they don't generally integrate at all. They just complain about their rights or lack of until there's enough of them. And then it's the Muslim way or no way at all. And just one final comment you mentioned about that we need to bring immigration in. Schumer saying we need to bring them in because we're not reproducing. I'm really concerned that the vast majority of mRNA recipients are white Westerners, and I'm concerned that we won't be having babies and that we will be dying in numbers. And hey, we've got somebody all ready for your job when that happens. So, you know, a bit conspiratorial, but I think there's something to that.
Yeah, we're in a mind meld here, man. We're in a mind meld. I was thinking about that this morning after you sent me this link. I was thinking, you know what? We got all these millions of people coming across the South border. None of them, they're not forcing those people to get jabbed. So here you've got the middle class of America being forced to get jabbed. You know, white America, black America, you know, yellow America, people that have been here a long time and have vested interest in their money making, all had to get jabbed. So if that's really something that's going to affect birth rates, and I believe it will, evidence shows that it will, and it does. That plays into this too in a major, major way. That could be an exponential acceleration in a dip of, you know, not just a racial class, but a financial class and a class of, you know, established citizens. That's scary, Darren. That's scary. Mm-hmm. All right. We went long, but that was important. That was necessary.
Sorry, man.
I'm going to let you go, man. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thanks for everything you do. Everybody be sure and check out Darren's show here on Today's News Talk. All right. We're going to go to break in a second here. I went so long, I may have to skip headlines, Alex. But, you know, we want to know what's really going on. So while many in the corporate media wants to ignore reality, TNT Radio wants to give voice to it. Marches and demonstrations protesting NATO's proxy war in Ukraine are spreading like wildfire from Berlin to Paris and Brisbane to New York. So go to the TNT soapbox, tntradio.live/soapbox, and upload a short video, audio, or a note from your device. From your local march or demonstration. We'll be right back with the Odd Man Out.
TNT Radio's Joe Hoft.
Mike Pence, the vice president, who up till that time was somewhat questionable as far as, you know, where did he stand? He'd been relatively quiet during the Trump presidency, just stood there. Well, he comes out and announces while President Trump is speaking on a very cold day in Washington, D.C. My brother was there. There was numerous people I know that ended up there and said it was the biggest crowd they'd ever seen. At least a million people showed up that day to protest the stolen election. And during President Trump's speech, where he's just going through this battery of corruption, battery of questionable balance, President Trump's laying it out, and then Mike Pence drops a bomb that he's gonna certify the results. He says there's no, he has no option, he has to do it. And I believe that was a lie. And he had every option. And I believe that that a good man would have done that. A good man wouldn't have said, well, you know, I have to do this. There's a timing issue here. No, I think a good man would have said, you know what? These results are not certifiable. I'm not going to certify them. But Mike Pence failed and failed miserably.
Joe Hoft on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A deadly virus emanating from Wuhan, China is sweeping across the globe.
Something is off.
The disease caused by the novel coronavirus has been titled COVID-19.
What we're being told doesn't add up.
It's so important in this crisis that we're in that people...
Congress passes a multi-billion dollar bill that will bring...
There is no cure, no way to treat this illness. All we can do is wait for a vaccine.
All we can do
is wait for a vaccine.
There must be a doctor out there who's questioning this.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. I'm the vice chairman of internal medicine.
The only chance to reduce the risks of hospitalization is early home treatment. We can beat this pandemic.
Patients actually think the virus is untreatable. There's such a focus on the vaccine. Where's the focus on people sick right now?
The pressure to suppress any hope of treatment is extraordinary.
Why the single-minded focus on the vaccine? What is that? What is that about?
That's really going to be the goal of investigative reporters to figure this out.
Unprecedented lockdowns, devastating economic damage, huge violations of personal freedom, families separated from their loved ones, all in the name of a medical emergency.
Things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to the entire world.
And the hope we have of protecting our communities is to get a needle in every arm.
I am not going to follow what you are suggesting and let the virus slaughter my patients.
John, I'm watching what's happening. This is a treatable illness.
I don't think this is a matter of academic debate and confusion. What the evidence shows is that this is an organized criminal enterprise. They call this a business opportunity.
People need to know the truth.
We are witnessing the greatest organized crime in history.
to the tune of trillions of dollars.
The biopharmaceutical complex is using censorship, propaganda, and manipulation to keep people living in fear. But what we need now is courage.
The Courage to Face COVID-19. Available at CourageToFaceCovid.com.
TNT.
Alexa, explain BIDEN.
BIDEN is president.
Oh, very good. And now, explain BIDET.
BIDET is your butt washer.
Okay, so they're pretty much the same.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gosh darn it, TNT. I'm trying to come in hot and serious, and you make me come in laughing every time. You got to love that. You got to love that. All right, everybody. Well, let's see here. We've got our guest with us. We're going to get right to it. I went long on the news break there with Darren Denslow, but I thought that was kind of an important conversation to have. But we have my colleague, my friend, a podcaster, a broadcaster, a live streamer, someone you should follow on the social medias while you still can before they cast him into the cancellation pit with the rest of the odd men out and odd women out. His call sign is the odd man out. Jason Hodge, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Great to be on with you. How you doing this morning?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day out here in Central Texas. I can't complain. I got to go to the rifle range yesterday and put holes in paper bad guys. So, I'm doing good and excited to talk to you about whatever we're going to get into today.
Awesome, man. I've been looking forward to it. Thank you for asking me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you and I, we've had a number of discussions on this show about, you know, federal law enforcement and some of the flaws there within sometimes when it comes to highly politicized stories, because we sure do see a lot of that, you know, and I've been diligent to get all sides of these perspectives on the show. Just yesterday, I had Kevin Hallin in here, and he's like 1,000,000% pro law enforcement and federal law enforcement. He worked with the FBI. I believe his sons work with the FBI. So I wanted someone like that's opinion on, you know, that's an example of the kind of person whose opinion I like to get so that we can kind of counterbalance ours, because, you know, you and I were so deep in this stuff and so fervent in the fight against tyranny and authoritarianism and, you know, these directions that we see everything going. And the big topic lately, so, you know, it's good to have that counterbalance, but when it come, and, you know, this may sound, this reporting, well, I don't know how to do it without just saying, you know, this, whatever aspects of this agency that are involved in J6 are, they need to be looked at, they need to be audited, they don't seem to be operating honestly, and same with the mainstream media reporting on it, and same with the kangaroo court that is happening right now. So, and we've talked about this before. We've done some pretty good setups. You recall some of the conversations we've had where we looked at the history of this and similar agencies and other times and places where things have gone wrong. Before we get into J6, you want to summarize that for everybody? I think we talked about Waco, J6, a number of things.
Yeah, Ruby Ridge. There's just been this track record, you know, this thing that's happened time and time again where, you know, these big occurrences happen to citizens, and then you later find out, well, the FBI had some of their guys on the inside, and they were trying to provoke certain things and foster certain things to get a certain outcome. And I think that J6 has got that written all over it. You know, I think that with the media, they've kind of fostered this narrative. And I think that they actually coerced people to go to Washington. You know, the power that the media has to kind of put something out there, it really drove a lot of people to that area, a lot of people. And obviously, you know, many of those people, probably 99% of those people, had no ill will and didn't go there to think they were going to take over Washington physically. by the force of a gun or weapons or something like that, because that would be ridiculous. You know, you can't fight the military and the police and the FBI and all that. So, you know, I think that there's just this, like, this track record that you cannot ignore. There's been too many instances of it.
Yeah. You know, and it's not even a broad brush for me. You know, I know what huge agencies these are, and I know that they have very important functions in many regard. And, you know, it's not like the entire agency is corrupt, you know, like most things that we call industrial complexes. You know, it's like blank industrial complex, you know, the federal law enforcement industrial complex, or even the law enforcement industrial complex is not 100% rotten. I've talked to too many people that seem like really good people and seen a number of things that function well and as you would expect them to for agencies like this. But then you get into the politicized events and it starts to shift, and it seems like there is a different mission when it comes to the big ticket items, if you will, a la J6, you know. And you could compare that to a BLM riot, you know, for example. And when you know, when BLM and Antifa are burning places down and, you know, throwing Molotovs at federal buildings and taking over, you know, entire city blocks and these sort of things, you just don't see them going to, you know, kangaroo courts and, you know, by the hundreds, like just grabbing the majority of people that were there, even the ones, and even at those sort of riots and things, there's a number of people, arguably the majority of them are there with, you know, legitimate grievances or perceived grievances and, you know, just, you know, exercising their right to their First Amendment, no different than what the Capitol would have looked like on January 6th if it hadn't been for this operation. And it appears that this was an operation. We've been saying it since the day it happened, and more and more evidence is now coming out as the court cases work their way through the system. So to as an example to everybody, I've got three articles here by Jim Hoft. You know, we had Joe Hoft on the show recently, and he has a new show here at TNT. So he and his brother over at Gateway Pundit are tracking this story very well. Their news posts on this really paint a picture, you know, and you kind of have to get, it's a little bit complicated, but not all that complicated, I would say, Odd Man. So here's the first headline. Here's the official verdict announced today in kangaroo court case against five Oath Keepers. So Oath Keepers keeps coming up, Stuart Rhodes' organization, and they found Stuart Rhodes guilty of seditious conspiracy. And several other Oath Keeper members were also found guilty in that D.C. court there. And, you know, now it remains to be seen how Rhodes will be treated, how long he will be in there, found guilty of these trumped up charges here. So first, your thoughts on that, just the fact that this happened. And we've got Thomas Caldwell, Jessica Watkins, Kenneth Harrelson, Kelly Meggs, and Stuart Rhodes all being charged with between 6 and 10 counts here, and all getting a number of guilty to go with a number of not guilties also, but all those people have now been processed.
Well, yeah, I was really interested to see what they would do with Rhodes and the others too. And it looks like they're kind of sticking it to him. You know, I was interested in seeing what they were and were not convicted of. And that's kind of interesting in itself. And then they've got these other guys who are just sitting there rotting still, and who knows when they're going to get their day in court. So, you know, it's a really kind of a convoluted story there with so many, you know, different things going on. But we know that they had basically, the FBI was working on the ground there on Jan 6th, and as well as I think the ATF too. And you know, the Stuart Rhodes guy is a bit of a shady character anyway. We've talked about that in the past. So Mm-hmm. Can't help but wonder if he could possibly, you know, put my tinfoil hat on, be working on the inside, and he may not even see a day of prison. But that's just me. That's just putting my tinfoil hat on, like I said.
Yeah, I wonder that too. But at the same time, I think maybe we're going to find out, because if because what we do know is that his VP, the VP over there at Oath Keepers, was an informant. So and from what I can gather, more than just, you know, sometimes people throw that word around and they don't really think about what it means in this particular case. And, you know, it doesn't just mean sitting there with your notes. You know, it's not like some guy sitting there taking notes and just, you know, sending them back to, you know, Quantico, Langley, wherever the hell they are. No. In cases like this, and we talked about the Nuremberg sting and multiple examples of this, World Trade Center 1993, and many more, they're actively, I don't know, am I not allowed to say entrapping? Like, what are you guys doing? How do you guys define that? I would wonder, you know, it's like, looks like entrapment to us normal sandwich eaters out here, but clearly, you know, coming up with schemes and plans and providing materials and, you know, giving buckets of cash. Like, these things have all happened. They've all been documented. So why are they doing that? You know, like, they're essentially creating a situation or encouraging someone to create a situation that has a known outcome. You know what I mean? It's the laying the groundwork. It's the foundation for stagecraft and, provocateurism.
Yeah, and you know, we know, I think we might have even played it in the past. There was a FBI assistant director, I believe, Thomas Fuentes, who was interviewed a few years ago, and he had this line. He said, you know, they were asking him basically in a roundabout way if possibly the FBI kind of fosters some of these situations in order to justify funding and their really them being an entity at all. And he said, well, you know, when you're coming up for your budget, you know, at the end of the year, you know, you're going to have a new budget. You don't pretend like the problems are fixed. I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, you keep things going because that's just the way you get more funding. So I think that a lot of stuff does come down to just basics like that, funding, and keeping your job. You know, the guys at the top want to keep those cushy jobs. And that's just, you know, that's something we deal with in the public and private sector. I think that's just part of it is, you know, normal. And part of it, you know, you could say is greed. But I don't think that you can, you know, count that out for sure, because that's just a human flaw there that I think that many people have.
Yeah, it's built into the system of relationships and interchanges between agencies and government agencies in particular. You know, I used to work at a university, and it was very, very similar. You know, we would do academic work, and as my research group grew, we would get, you know, projects. We'd get multi-year projects sometimes, and it was like, you hire people around those projects and you hope that those projects get bigger and better every year. And they end up becoming sometimes programs of record, which means they have, you know, guaranteed funding for perpetuity or for much longer periods of time. So kind of, there's like a grind basically in federal work where, you know, you grind and grind and grind until you get big enough where you can, you know, your budget gets bigger every year, you can bring more people in, you can have better results, and then things become programs of record and they don't have to grind quite so hard, but they certainly have to, like you're saying, show the continued need, show the continued growth, whatever, so that that money can keep coming in, or even better yet, bigger money next year. We need more next year. But I think in the case of this agency, it's just gone far beyond that whole level of like, okay, that's just kind of how this works. And that's also how that works in the medical regions too, I think. And that's why so many of the studies that we see are questionable, because, you know, the sponsors and people that, you know, give these research groups so much money, they're not going to be paying people that are doing things that shake the foundation of the whole, you know, insert here, industrial complex. So it's made us very vulnerable, this whole feedback loop of money. But I got to go to break in a second here. But before I do, back to Rhodes. If he sits in jail for years and years and years and years, then we'll know that it was his VP and the other, I think it was four, there's at least five informants at the high levels of Oath Keepers. So we'll know that he was being manipulated and, you know, his members are being manipulated too. But if he does a Gucci Gulag thing and he's out in, you know, 6 to 18 months, well, that might say something too, if we see all the other people still rotting in there. That might be our benchmark.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And hopefully, you know, if he, God forbid, if he ends up, you know, like Epstein, we'll also know that he probably, that would probably mean that he was actually legit. So,
yeah, he knew a little bit too much to stay in jail, to stay on planet Earth too long. Well, I hope that's not the case. You know, I've always had mixed feelings about him and Oath Keepers, because when I first found Oath Keepers back in 2012, I thought it was pretty neat. I was like, okay, this is cool. You know, I support this. But then over the years, it was like, I started seeing the way he would respond to certain things. And it was like, I don't know, I'm starting to wonder about this guy. I've done a number of episodes about him, so I'm not going to go too deep into that today because I don't want to get too far off track here. Speaking of which, we don't want to get off track with TNT because it is time to take a break, Odd Man Out. We'll be right back, everybody. This is TNT.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
For decades, we've been told that being gay is not a choice, but rather one is born that way. This even though no gene has ever been found for that trait. And now comes word that if you weren't born a lesbian, but you'd like to be a lesbian, there's hope for you. The Daily Mail reports that women are speaking out about a possible side effect of taking oral contraceptives. They say taking the pill eventually turned them gay. Apparently, women have anonymously shared their experiences on Reddit, claiming that starting or stopping birth control woke up a part of their sexuality that had been asleep for years. This has led to scientific study into the claims. Researchers from the University of Stirling in the UK looked at whether women might choose different, more or less masculine-looking partners when they're on the pill than they would if they were not on the pill. And guess what? They found that women on the pill preferred images of males with less masculine features, and they were also more likely to choose such men as partners. So, if you've ever thought about being a lesbian but couldn't quite get there, congrats. There's hope for you. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The Anglo-American-led wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were justified as a war on terror following 9/11. But what if the official 9/11 narrative is a lie? Just like Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction or his human shredding machine. There's another side to 9/11 which the mainstream media won't expose. The official 9/11 narrative would have you believe planes crashing into the World Trade Center's Twin Towers led to their collapse. But do you know that World Trade Center Building 7 collapsed on the same day, September 11th, 2001? It was a 47-story skyscraper. It collapsed in under 7 seconds at 5:20 p.m., yet no plane crashed into it. A carefully planned, controlled demolition would explain such a collapse, which occurred at close to free-fall speed.
Late this afternoon, just before 5:30 p.m., the number 7 building at the World Trade Center also collapsed.
TNT Radio will cover this story to find the actual perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks.
The U.S. government is predicting the average household is going to spend hundreds of dollars more on gas this year.
Crazy, isn't it?
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, here's the thing about Stuart Rhodes, Odd Man Out. He never went inside the U.S. Capitol. He never instructed anyone to go inside the U.S. Capitol. And he was unarmed, as were all of his associates that day. Oath Keepers were in D.C. to offer security for the several rallies planned on January 5th and 6th. And as Jim points out, this is such a horrible travesty of justice. I have to agree with him. You know, Stewart may be a unknown quantity in some regards. He may be 1,000,000% legit and just have a bunch of worm tongues hanging about in his cabinet, if you get my drift. So, you know, what's up with that? What's up with that? What is the crime here? I thought the crime was insurrection, right? So if the crime is insurrection, someone like him who has that much influence, you would think he would have been instructing people to go inside the U.S. Capitol, that he and his group would have showed up armed. They normally do. Those guys are big 2A supporters, and they roll armed oftentimes. I've seen that before. And they've always been good about it. You know what I mean? They've not been dangerous or threatening about it. They're very much into peacekeeping and stuff like that. And many of them are, you know, to their members' credits, I'm sure membership is gone up in flames at this point, but to their members' credit, you know, many, many, many people in this country gave that group $20 a month for unknown amounts of time because they liked the idea of it and the ethos of it, you know? So, very interesting, very interesting. So yeah, he never went in the Capitol, never instructed anyone to go in the Capitol, and showed up unarmed like his associates. So how are they participating in an insurrection? I do not understand.
It doesn't make sense. You know, if you're going to arrest people and send them to prison for the power of suggestion, which it sounds like there's not even proof that he suggested anything, then we would have to start arresting many, many people in the media, you know, that kind of fostered the idea of going there. So I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but our government doesn't have to make sense anymore. And it makes me wonder, you know, if they're trying to make an example out of Rhodes because they don't want any of these other, you know, they really don't want people exercising their rights, their Second Amendment right, and even their First Amendment right, which, you know, the Second protects all the other rights. So they may be making an example out of him and hoping that that will keep any more of these other groups from rising up in the near future.
Yeah, they. It's funny because they don't want you to have your First or Second Amendment rights, but then they will infiltrate a group like the Proud Boys or like the Oath Keepers and use them. Unfortunately, this is how sick this is. They will use them to sort of honeypot the public into saying, well, who will join this message? Who will join in with these voices here? Who is not going to be silenced? And who has this particular, you know, this particular demographic, this particular demographic, who among this demographic will be willing to stand up and sign up and pay $20 a month and go show up at these things? You know what I mean? And then they collect that data. They've been collecting, if this group has been infiltrated for the last 10 years, because I think that's about how long approximately I've been aware of them, what is their list like? You know what I mean? I'm sorry to throw that idea out there, folks, but if you're a dues paying member to Oath Keepers and you got the hat and everything, I'm not slagging you at all. I understand. Like, they were one of our last hopes in many people's estimation, not them specifically, but the concept of constitutional sheriffs in this country, elected officials by their local, you know, constituencies with the power to arrest people for crimes. I mean, that's huge. That it should be huge. So a lot of people put their faith in that and their hope in that, you know, when they saw the country crumbling, if they were eyes open enough to see it crumbling back in, you know, the Obama era, because that's really, you know, so anyways, you get my drift.
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen this kind of thing coming for a long time where people who leaned a certain way politically were potentially going to be put on a list, especially if you or a known 2A supporter. And, you know, they're trying to condition everyone, young people and everyone that they can condition, into believing that even having a 2A, you know, is wrong and you should feel guilty and And it's, you know, it's something that only professionals should have. And of course, you know, those are the same people who at any given time will say that everyone on the right in the government is pure evil. Yet they think that, you know, we shouldn't have our Second Amendment rights. And, you know, it's just amazing. You can't really talk sense to someone who's given up common sense because they don't even make, you know, their argument doesn't even fly when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. They have no values. That's what that amounts to. The only values they have are the chaotic ones that are installed into their world belief system by, you know, modern media and feedback loops on social media. All right. We're getting low on time here, so let's flip through this next one here real quick. And folks, these are all by Jim Hoft up at the Gateway Pundit. You can check that out. And you can find Joe Hoft here on TNT also. So 12 facts on the dozens of federal operatives who infiltrated the Trump crowds on January 6th at the U.S. Capitol. Let's lightning round this, dude. Bring that one up. I'll do fact one. You do fact two. We'll see how quick, see how many of these we can get through here. Fact one, the FBI infiltrated the Proud Boys, full stop, and their informant exonerated the Proud Boys of any conspiracy. So in July 2022, Gateway Pundit contributor Kara Kostranova released whistleblower documents, texts and messages, and audio transcripts of FBI informant James Knowles' communications with his FBI handlers on January 6th. The evidence exonerates Trump supporters and the Proud Boys of any conspiracy or planning to storm the U.S. Capitol to overthrow proceedings. So you can find that up there. All right. Fact number two, over to you.
Says the FBI was recruiting men and women to infiltrate the crowds and work as operatives prior to January 6th. It says on Thursday afternoon, September 30th at 3:45 p.m. Eastern, the FBI raided Jeremy Brown's house and arrested Jeremy. The charge is trespassing. The FBI sent 20 vehicles for his arrest. DHS and Pinellas County law enforcement were also present. The FBI was in Jeremy's home for 5.5 hours looking for evidence. The FBI searched his house, RV, and trailer, and then they arrested Jeremy and took him away. Jeremy's family contacted the Gateway Pundit the next morning. Jeremy Brown is a Green Beret and former Republican candidate for Congress in Florida's 14th District, and Brown served in the United States Army from 1992 to 2012 and reached the rank of Special Forces Master Sergeant. And Jeremy Brown never even entered the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. His actual crime was refusing to be an FBI informant, as we describe below. Not only did Jeremy refuse to work for the FBI as an informant on January 6th, but he went public with photos and audio of the conversations he had with agents. As we reported months ago, Jeremy Brown refused to be an informant for the dirty FBI, and they wanted him to be one of their operatives at Jan 6th.
And it goes on to say, Go ahead.
I'm sorry. And it goes on to say the FBI called Jeremy's cell phone and asked for a meeting after trying to contact him at his house. And Jeremy then met with the FBI agents at a restaurant near Weber City in December. And he told Brandon Gray that 38 seconds into the interview, the FBI attempted to recruit him to spy on the Oath Keepers.
See, that's the type of personality.
So he refused.
And Oath. Yeah, he did. Joe Hoft was on my show and he told me all about that story. It's amazing. Really mind blowing. And he's really brave. You know, he put himself out there. He's gotten himself in trouble, not for simply refusing to be an informant for them, but for publicizing it. I think that's probably what really ended him up where he is. But, you know, since he's made that sacrifice for America, we now know that, yeah, that's something that they do, like we've been trying to say for years and years. So to have it, you know, so in everybody's faces right now is definitely mud. Okay, let's see here. Yeah, mud on the narrative. Fact three, FBI wiretapped friends and family members, including children, to spy on J6 protesters. Let's just go through the high-level headlines here so we can jam through these, dude.
was just here where I forgive my son for working for the FBI to convict me. Exclusive interview with convicted January 6th political prisoner Guy Reffitt from D.C. Gitmo. So that sounds pretty terrible.
Good audio. There's good audio on that one. Yeah, folks should check that out. Let's see. Okay, fact four. Luke Robinson, armed J6 protester with an earpiece, dropped from FBI most wanted list. That's an interesting one. Hit us with fact five there.
At least 20 undercover FBI and ATF operatives and three undercover police officers were running operations in the crowd on January 6th.
All right, fact six, Ray Epps. I don't even need to say anymore. Look it up. Fact seven, odd man out. Go.
Disappearing feds from FBI list.
Uh-huh. Yep. Whole articles on that. And then a link to Bobby Powell's video here. You guys should definitely go to Bobby Powell's Substack and check that video out. There's some major unanswered questions there. And that's it. We're out of time. Go read the rest of this one at Gateway Pundit. Thanks, Oddman.